Blog Talk Radio.
Go now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdote Talk Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason, and other worldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdote.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdote Radio. On today's show, I'm going to speak on the disastrous decision by the Supreme Court on June 26th of this year. Roughly around 10 in the morning or so, the news broke out that the Supreme Court decided on the issue of same-sex marriage in the United States of America. Now, immediately the networks broke out into the broadcast the event, and what's presumed to be a lawyer or somebody came running out screaming, celebrating, and immediately I suspected the worst, that the justices sided with the so-called same-sex marriage, and unfortunately that was the case. And the Supreme Court voted 5-4 to legalize same-sex marriage throughout the 50 states, pretty much stating that the last 13 states, the 13 states remaining with bans against so-called same-sex marriage, to undo those bans, that they're unconstitutional and so forth. And the whole thing started with the plaintiff, Erbigenfeld, I'm terrible with names, so excuse me there, versus Hodge, the director of Ohio Department of Health. And basically what happened was that Obergefell sued the state of Ohio for refusing to place his name on the death certificate of his partner, who passed away. Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan all sided with the opinion that banned or that undid the bans in these states, including Ohio, and deemed them unconstitutional. Now, the justices cited the 14th Amendment in this regard. Those against the decision were Justices Robert, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. And each of them filed dissenting opinions, which is rare. Usually one of them writes a dissenting opinion, and the rest of them agree with it. But in this case, all of them wrote dissenting opinions, and they all agree with each other, pretty much. Now, in his opinion, Justice Kennedy acknowledged the importance of marriage. And he goes on to say, quote, that from the beginning, the annals of human history reveal the transcendent importance of marriage. The lifelong union of a man and a woman always have promised nobility and dignity to all persons. With regard to their station in life, marriage is sacred to those who live by their religions and offers unique fulfillment to those who find meaning in secular realm. Its dynamic allows two people to find a life that cannot be found alone. For a marriage becomes greater than just two persons. And he just goes on giving examples, quoting from Confucius and so forth. And he pretty much says that their marriage is not unique to the male and female union. And he says it by stating that it does not end there, that marriage doesn't end at male and female. In other words, he's opening up the idea that marriage can be anything. The Justice Center cites from psychological journals from the mid-1970s, highlighting that, quote, only in more recent years have psychiatrists and others recognized that sexual orientation is both a normal expression of human sexuality and immutable, end quote. Kennedy uses this to present the argument that homosexuals are normal and therefore deserve equal rights just like heterosexuals. He also makes the case that children of homosexual couples suffer stigma, and he claims that the stigma is that their families feel somehow lesser, he says, and that they go to school, whatnot, and they see other families with a male and a female parent, and yet his family, he calls two guys dad or two moms mom or she, and the child gets the feeling that his or her family is lesser. So this is what he's arguing for, and says that the child feels humiliated or whatnot. And he concludes that homosexual couples are not disrespecting marriage, or they're not out to destroy it, but that they respect it so much that they don't want to be excluded from it. They want to participate in it. That's the way he closes out the argument. And that's pretty much the basis on what he based the decision, him and the other justices that did the bans in these 13 states, pretty much making so-called same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states throughout the whole United States, the whole Union. Now, following the written decision, the dissenting opinions from Roberts et al. Offer different points as to why the majority decision to allow so-called same-sex marriage was erroneous and not supported by the Constitution. And Roberts wrote, quote, "But this court is not a legislature. Whether same-sex marriage is a good idea should be of no concern to us. Under the Constitution, judges have the power to say what the law is, not what it should be. The people who ratify the Constitution authorize courts to exercise neither force nor will, but merely judgment," end quote. Justice Roberts continues stating that arguments in favor of so-called same-sex marriage are compelling, but their legality is weak. He argues that the right to marriage does not trump the right of states to define it. Moreover, he states that the Constitution is silent on the issue of marriage, and therefore those in favor of so-called same-sex marriage cannot cite it in their favor. And this is what he says, quote, "Although the policy arguments for extending marriage to same-sex couples may be compelling, the legal arguments for requiring such an extension are not. The fundamental right to marry does not include a right to make a state change its definition of marriage. And a state's decision to maintain the meaning of marriage that has persisted in every culture throughout human history can hardly be called irrational. In short, our Constitution does not enact any one theory of marriage. The people of a state are free to expand marriage to include same-sex couples or to retain their historical definition," end quote. Roberts continues making his case and ends stating that those in favor of same-sex marriage should celebrate their victory, but should refrain from celebrating it as a victory supported by the Constitution. And he says, "If you are among the many Americans of whatever sexual orientation who favor expanding same-sex marriage, by all means celebrate today's decision. Celebrate the achievement of a desired goal. Celebrate the opportunity for a new expression of commitment to a partner. Celebrate the availability of new benefits, but do not celebrate the Constitution. It had nothing to do with it. I respectfully dissent," end quote. Justice Scalia, on the other hand, he offers a dissenting opinion where he focuses on the decision as a threat to democracy, and he writes, quote, "Today's decree says that my ruler and the ruler of 320 million Americans coast to coast is a majority of 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court. The opinion in these cases is the furthest extension in fact, and the furthest extension one can't even imagine, or the courts claim power to create liberties that the Constitution and its amendments neglect to mention. This practice of constitutional revision by an unelected committee of 9 always accompanied as it is today by extravagant praise of liberty, robs the people of the most important liberty they asserted in the Declaration of Independence and won in the Revolution of 1776, the freedom to govern themselves, end quote. Scalia feels that the court is overstepping its boundaries by creating liberties that the Constitution's amendments neglect to mention. He argues that this was done by the committee, a committee of 9 unelected lawyers, and that these lawyers are not representative of the entire United States. Moreover, he writes that this decision is reminiscent of the no taxation without representation dilemma in America's infancy, where Americans were taxed by the British without having representation. Scalia alters it by stating that today's decision is like a, quote, no social transformation without representation, end quote, type of situation. So that's how Justice Scalia describes it. Justice Thomas, he argues that the Constitution does not support it and that this decision will violate the principles of freedom and liberty. And he says, quote, yet the majority invokes our Constitution in the name of liberty, that the framers would not have recognized, to the detriment of the liberty they sought to protect. Along the way, it rejects the idea captured in our Declaration of Independence that human dignity is innate, and suggests instead that it comes from the government. This distortion of our Constitution not only ignores the text, and inverts the relationship between the individual and the state in our republic. I cannot agree with it. And Justice Alito argues that the Constitution has nothing to say about marriage, and that the decision is not based on law, but on the postmodern views of the justices who voted in favor of it. And he said, quote, the Constitution says nothing about the right to same-sex marriage, but the court upholds that the term liberty in the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment encompasses this right. Our nation was founded upon the principle that every person has the unalienable right to liberty. But liberty is a term of many meanings. For classical liberals, it may include economic rights not limited by government regulation. For social democrats, it may include the right to a variety of government benefits. For today's majority, it has a distinctively postmodern meaning. And he continues saying, quote, today's decision usurps the constitutional right of the people to decide whether to keep or alter the traditional understanding of marriage. The decision will also have other important consequences. It will be used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy. In the course of his opinion, the majority compares traditional marriage laws to laws that deny equal treatment for African Americans and women. The implication of this analogy will be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. End quote. So there you have it, a summary of the decision and the dissenting opinions that the justice offered in response to this decision, which legalized so-called same-sex marriage in the United States of America. And as you can see, they made good arguments, excellent argument regarding the states being robbed of their authority, the people being robbed of their power to decide what is marriage, to define their own social construction of things, and the disregard of the Constitution, which does not mention marriage, the 14th Amendment does not mention marriage, and the fact that Americans who adhere to the traditional view of marriage will be vilified, they will be looked upon as villains, as bigots, and we have been seeing that all the time, where those who are defending the norm, male and female, have been called bigots, haters, and whatnot, and it's just absurd. And now we're going to see even more of it because of this decision by the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, it's going to get really hairy. Now, this is my dissent, sacerdotes' dissent. Homosexuality, children, and psychology. While Kennedy does make good arguments, not great arguments, but good arguments, he does not acknowledge that homosexuality was removed from the DSM after politicking. No strong research was ever presented to the American Psychological Association, or the APA, and other bodies that work in this science, presenting homosexuality as a normal behavioral aspect of the human being. To date, any psychologist who dares question the status quo may face repercussions for doing so. This intimidates honest researchers who sincerely want to research homosexuality. Furthermore, studies show that children's need a father and mother, not an imitation of such. Children who grow up without a parent, usually a father, tend to do poorly in school. They drop out, and in many instances end up in prison. Justice Kennedy claims that there is a stigma with children of homosexual couples. However, he fails to explain how. Moreover, he fails to take into account the bullying these children will face from other children who will call them names and mock the fact that their parents are of the same gender. Children of homosexual parents will grow up confused, especially when they learn that reproduction only takes place when parents of the opposite gender perform sexual intercourse. They will wonder why they are a part of a family that is not the natural norm. Because again, a male and a male cannot reproduce. A female and a female cannot reproduce. You cannot start a family in a natural way. You will have to adopt in order to do that. Or pay somebody to have the child for you. Now let's say all the children in the world were adopted. What will gay couples do? They will need a lot of money to pay for in vitro fertilization and pay off whoever is going to be the bearer of this child. Also, when a family starts, when children are born, they have the genetic components of both parents. So even with in vitro fertilization, only one of the parents will get the DNA, the genetics passed on. So it's just a disaster just trying to justify this whole same-sex union as a real family. It's not. Moreover, the children will have self-esteem issues, such as depression and a sense of being socially awkward or weird. American History and the 14th Amendment. Kennedy does not make any argument stating that the Constitution does support same-sex marriage. The 14th Amendment is cited. But when one reads it, one will find that it does not mention marriage at all as something that has equal protection under the law. As the dissenters argue, the power to define marriage and protect it belongs to the people and the states they form. According to my history professors at CUNY, when the Constitution was written, it was done so to protect white male slave owners. This is why African Americans, women, and others were left out, prompting amendments to be made in order to protect those classes of people and expand their rights. The writers of the Constitution did not mention marriage because at the time there was no need to. There was no LGBT activists protesting and demanding equal rights. Our founding fathers were Christian men who naturally would adhere to the understanding of marriage as a union between one man and one woman. This understanding was expected to be adopted by Americans at the time, so there was no need to put it in writing, so to speak. Not even the prolific writer and promoter of liberty, Thomas Paine, wrote on marriage as a fundamental right for anyone or any union. The topic was just not on the table at the time. If Paine and the founding fathers were alive today or could see how America turned out, they would most likely be upset and disgusted. Power to the people. The 10th Amendment clearly states that, quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people, end quote. It is not up to the branch of the government to decide social norms, but to the people and the states that they reside in. By deciding that marriage is a right to same-sex couples against the will of the people and the states, the Supreme Court is taking on power it does not have. Remember, the Supreme Court is not a legislative body. The Constitution states the power of the Supreme Court and how it's supposed to function. It says, quote, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under the Constitution, the laws of the United States and treaties made or which shall be under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming land on the grants of different states, and between a state or citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all the other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exemptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. The trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crime shall have been committed. But when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. End quote. So this is showing the authority that the court has. In light of what the Constitution states, the Supreme Court's decision should have been either not to hear the case or to send it back to the states for resolution. The justices in favor of so-called same-sex marriage decided prima facie respectively of their personal views and not the Constitution, religious freedom. The Supreme Court failed to understand the ramification of their decision in regards to the religious freedom. The United States of America was founded because of religion. Pioneers to this nation from Europe sought new territories from which they could practice their religious beliefs, free from oppression from other ecclesial bodies or monarchies who wish a specific religion be practiced by their subjects. We have already seen the many lawsuits against Christian businesses for refusing to provide service on the grounds that their religious beliefs and conscience will be violated. How the promotion of the LGBT agenda is affecting religious liberty. Many Christians have had to shut down their businesses and have faced the backlash and abuse from LGBT supporters. Religious denominations are now being labeled as institutions of hate because they promote certain teachings or biblical statements which disagree with the LGBT agenda. This opens the door for litigation against religious bodies for simply exercising their First Amendment rights. Moreover, the legalization of so-called same-sex marriage in all 50 states, religious bodies can now be coerced to cater to the LGBT agenda or face fines, removal of their tax exemption status, or even persecution. We are already seeing Christians attacked in public and on social media. One Catholic priest was even spat on by gay men. A little too late, Republican candidates for the president also voiced their concern regarding this judicial tyranny. They are calling for an amendment to the Constitution. However, this should have been done decades ago. Now it will be extremely difficult to get such an amendment passed. If it does pass, most likely it will be challenged by the same Supreme Court who made the awful decision legalizing so-called same-sex marriage, since they are on the bench for life. Pusillanimous Catholic clergy. This decision and claims that the majority of Catholics in America support so-called same-sex marriage, could have been avoided if Catholic clergy educated the people on the sanctity of marriage and why any other union is not of one man and one woman cannot work. Instead, we hear wishy-washy homilies that are humanistic in tone and scarce on church teachings. For example, Jesuit priest James Martin, who is popular online, did not even condemn the decision, but instead asked Catholics to only recall what the Catechism says about treating gays with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. He ignores the rest of the Catechism, paragraphs 2357, 2358, and 2359. The first one describes homosexual acts as grave depravity. It calls homosexual acts intrinsically disordered. It says they are contrary to the natural law and close the sexual act to the gift of life. And under no circumstances can they be approved, and they are not genuinely effective nor show sexual complementarity. 2359 calls homosexual persons to be chaste. Martin does not state this. He does not condemn this. He does not reaffirm the church's teachings. And we see a lot of priests and bishops doing this. The church clearly states that homosexuality is not something that should be celebrated or promoted as a norm. Those with homosexual tendencies are not called to come out of the closet, ride on floats in pride parades. Rather, they are called to be chaste. Father Martin ignores this part, and it is unfortunate. Furthermore, had our clergy emphasized this teaching to our people, we will not see these alleged polls claiming that the majority of Catholics support so-called same-sex marriage. Our people will understand that while we must love the sinner, we must detest the sin and do all in our power to keep that sin in the closet of the devil. And sacred scripture and the church fathers are clear on this matter. Leviticus 20 and 18, they condemn homosexual acts. Deuteronomy 22:5 condemns transgenderism, transvestitism, dressing up as the opposite gender. Romans 1:26-27 speaks about the people giving up their natural relations for one another. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says that homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the church fathers, there's a long list of quotes that I do not have the time to read to you right now, which you could look up at my blog, sacerdotes.com, for the posting on June 26, 2015. You could see the list there. And Jesus himself, some people claim that Jesus was signing on gay marriage. While he may not have used the words gay marriage, he did reaffirm to the crowds gathered that marriage is between a male and female. In Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, he says, he answered, "Have you not read that one has that the one who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." End quote. As you can see, there's no way a Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, or anyone can call himself a Christian, or who calls himself a Christian, can justify homosexual behavior and so-called same-sex marriage. There's no way. Catholics who support so-called same-sex marriage should refrain from the reception of Holy Communion and from identifying as a Catholic. You're just being hypocritical. Moreover, other quasi-representatives of the Catholic faith wrote articles, and one of them is Franciscan friar Daniel Horan, who says that we should rejoice with the joys and hopes of the LGBT people. In other words, he's saying that we should be happy along with them. Based on the decision, is he serious? Would the seraphic father, St. Francis of Assisi, really state this? The answer is no. St. Francis of Assisi was about love and promotion of the gospel, truth. He was so firm on this that he even dared to convert Muslims, knowing he could have been killed. Father Friar Horan clearly does not understand the gospel or church teachings, nor the application of the aforementioned. Then again, he's part of an order that has squandered millions of dollars and claims to live a vow of poverty, but they live in these beautiful, expensive properties and even allow their members to have their own apartments. St. Francis today will not recognize the Order of Friars Minor as his order. They are more like the Order of Fraudulent Men. Unfortunately, Daniel Horan is a product of this group, and it's not a shock that he will hold these strange ideas. Rainbow Bright. Social media and many corporations, even government buildings, seem to have known beforehand about the support the Supreme Court's decision. Within seconds of the announcement, they all had these rainbow images on their sites. The White House even had lighting on the facade with a rainbow. And they never did this before. Not even for the 4th of July. They never put the lights of the American flag, red, white, and blue. On Twitter, the hashtag Love Wins was trending, and anybody who used it, automatically a rainbow heart appeared next to it. It was just unbelievable. In all my years on this earth, I had never seen such indoctrination publicly visible and so forcefully presented. The way they try to force this rainbow thing on all of us is just crazy. The LGBT agenda is destroying America morally and legally. They are taking over everything, and we need to put an end to it. Now, we could pass an amendment, but the Supreme Court will knock it down. What we need to do is attack it at its source. Incorporate psychology into it and try to show that this is not normal. And then we could pass laws and so forth, because once the APA said it was normal, then there was no reason for it. Homosexual acts or things related to homosexuality to be illegal. So this is where we need to attack it. Otherwise, America will be no longer a republic but an oligarchy. So we need to do everything we can to rescue America. Thank you for listening. God bless and Mary keep. Do not lose the faith. We will have to suffer greatly because of this decision, but it's not the end of the world.